Yes, Father, we want to thank you that we know how much you love us. We know because we can see Jesus. We can see him on the cross. We can see him dying for us. Because you love us. Because you love us so, God, you were willing to give us everything so that we can be free. And God, we want to thank you for this great love. Lord, as we come into your presence, as we draw near to you, Lord, we pray that you will speak to us, Lord, that we will not receive your words from a heart of fear, but that we will receive your words as a Father that loves us, that has already given us life and wants us to walk in it, in the fullness of it, in the overflowing of it, that we may rejoice in it. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The children can go to holiday club. It's not Flexi Club. It's a holiday club. Children's church will start again next Sunday. But the children can go. Thanks, Chris, for that offering. Sometimes I don't really know whether I should share what I felt I must share. And then I love the offering. Thank you for that, Chris. I've been sharing about prayer in the context of our faith in God, in our relationship with God. And as Christians, we are so quick to say Christianity is not a religion, but a relationship. But a relationship stands on this basis of communication. And it's a two-way communication. It's not just me speaking, but it's also me listening and hearing. And prayer not only affords me the opportunity to speak to God, to communicate to God my heart, my desires, but it also affords me the opportunity to listen and to hear his heart and his desire. And we've been speaking a lot about this morning. I want to speak on one of the phrases in the Lord's Prayer. I'm not going to preach on the entire Lord's Prayer. There's one little phrase there where Jesus teaches us to pray. He says, "Give us this day our daily bread." And what does that mean? Give us this day our daily bread. One of the things that I would like to share this morning is an aspect of prayer that gives us peace. Something powerful about prayer. Prayer is something that gives us peace. It's not just an opportunity to speak to God and to listen and to hear from God. Prayer also gives us peace. Yeah, in this life, we face lots of trials and tribulations. And hallelujah. Try to figure it out. We try to figure it out. And we have this option A, option B, option C. It's that thing that keeps you awake at night when you're uncertain about the future, when you face your circumstances and the realities around you. We start to work things out in our own mind. And you know what? Normally, option A, B, and C ends quite bad. It's sometimes often a negative reality that we play through our minds, that we project the end to be, and we fear that we're going to end up on the street without food or place to live, and our children are going to beg for food, and this consumes us throughout the night. The other extreme, of course, is denial, where we just go in absolute denial about the realities and the challenges that we face as if it doesn't exist. Or we move to this place of positive thinking where we kind of try to escape the reality and the responsibilities of the life that we live in. And we find ourselves in these two extremes of the challenges that we face. But I have discovered something far more secure. And that is faith in God. Faith in God and prayer. Faith in God and prayer when I face these circumstances, these trials, these tribulations, and the uncertainties of what tomorrow might bring. And many times what keeps us awake is not what happens today, but the possibility of what might not happen or what might happen in tomorrow. And I found this place of peace in my faith in God, but in prayer, as I bring these circumstances, these realities, and these uncertainties to Him, this is where I find my peace. And I've realized that these two go hand in hand. You can't really pray without faith. You can't really have faith without prayer. So how do I really pray without believing? How can I believe without speaking? And I've realized these two go hand in hand. And in Hebrews 11, verse 1, we read how faith works. For now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things yet to be seen. The opposite of faith, I've shared so many times, is not just unbelief. The opposite of faith is fear. Because it works exactly the same way. Fear is the substance of things dreaded for. The evidence of things not seen. It kind of works exactly the same way, where I'm confident in what I hope for. Fear is being confident of what I dread. That keeps me up at night. The certainty within myself that what I think is the worst case scenario is going to happen. And that's how fear happens. It works exactly the same way as faith. But you know what? We know Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it's impossible to please Him, but whoever draws near to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So faith and prayer goes hand in hand. I must believe when I approach God. I must believe that He exists. I must believe. I cannot pray without faith. I must believe that God exists. And I must also believe that He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And in this process, I find peace in who God is, in His character. Not just that He exists, but that He's a good God. And I've realized that I need to have faith in approaching God, not fear. We also know that the Word says that love casts out fear. Those who fear have not been perfected by love. And I've realized that in my revelation of who God is, my faith grows, and so does my peace. So we need both. We need to have faith to pray, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Many times we fear what might happen. We are so confident of what we hope. And sometimes we are so confident of what we dread that fear grips us. And many times we fear what might happen and all that might go wrong, the worst case scenarios, and then it paralyzes us in today. It paralyzes us here. It's not a reality yet. It's not real yet, but it's what we fear. It's that worst case scenario, all the bad things that can possibly happen in the uncertainty and in the trial and in the uncircumstances. And it paralyzes in today, and we start living the consequences of our future fears. And I've realized how destructive fear can be, but faith is so powerful, it does the opposite. And faith is not wishful thinking. Faith is not blind. It is with our eyes wide open into the character and the nature of God, who God is, what He has promised, and His faithfulness. That is what I base my faith on. But as Christians, we have to believe what we believe. Maybe I must say that again. You know, as Christians, we have to believe what we believe. I've met many Christians that don't believe what they believe. I mean, we all believe God exists. We all believe God is a good God. We all believe God's Word. We all believe His promises. We all believe He's faithful. But many times, the moment we face our trials and our tribulations and our circumstances, we no longer believe what we believe. We become confused. And it's sometimes strange to see in our own hearts when we no longer believe what we believe. So I want to encourage you, believe what you believe. Because James, the Word of God says here in James 1 verse 6, let him who ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So when we pray, we must have faith. When we ask, we must have faith. We must believe that God exists and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Our faith is not blind, people. Our faith is in the character and the nature of God. That he is a good God, that his word is true, that his promises is real, and that he has been faithful. Faith is not blind. It is understanding his character. And that understanding of his character comes through the word. The only way you're going to understand God's character, the only way you're going to discover more of God is through his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. This is where we grow. This is where we understand who this God is. Who is this God that we are praying to? Who is this God that created, that sustained all things? Who is this Father that loves us so much? We gain understanding through the Word. The knowing, the studying, the living it. And I guess that's what Chris is talking about, the difference between incorporation and surrender. It's the more I spend time in the Word, the more I surrender myself, the more I see who God is and how much he loves and how much he has promised and how faithful he's been over the centuries. I surrender more, and the more I surrender, the more faith I have, and the more faith I have, the more peace I have. Because my trust is not in my circumstances, but in him. So faith, understanding, and this surrender to God, it's the surrender to God that brings us peace. When I surrender my life to God. You know what? It's when you come to this realization that I no longer belong to myself. I've given my life to God. I now belong to him. I have become his child. And when I surrender myself to him, I all of a sudden realize that the one to whom I've surrendered is a good God, is a jealous God. And he's an almighty God. And I don't need to worry about life anymore because I belong to him now. And he has the ability and the will to care for me. It's when I surrender. And you cannot get there before you surrender the self that Chris was talking about. You have to surrender first to get to this place. You've got to lay down your life. You've got to give it away. You got to lose your life to gain it. It's the upside down kingdom. Jesus said, those who want to save their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will save it. If you want to live without fear, if you want to live in peace, then give your life away. Give ownership to it. We only worry about things that belongs to us, so why not give your life away? It's difficult for us, but that's how the kingdom works. It's in this place where we give our life to him, where we find our peace. Jesus taught us to pray in Matthew 6. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Give us this day our daily bread. Sometimes we read this so quickly. But this really speaks about surrender. I mean, the whole Lord's Prayer is really not about me. It's really about God. It starts off with our Father. It starts off with his name. It starts off with his kingdom and his will. And when it finally comes to me, the expression is not, God, give me what I want for tomorrow. God, my needs for tomorrow is the following. God, In 5 years' time, I would like a promotion. I would like to have a house, a wife, cars. Many times when we pray, when we present our needs before God, it's not for today, it's for tomorrow. Because we haven't fully surrendered. But we still live, like Chris says, in this incorporation of what I want and the benefits. And so I ask God what I want in the future. But that's not how Jesus taught us to pray. He said, no. We should pray, give us this day, today, Sunday. What's the date today? The 8th of November, October. The 8th of October, God. Give me today my daily bread. Today. Why? I'm completely surrendered to you, God. You know what I need even before I ask it. You already know what I need. So I surrender myself completely to you, God, and I ask you, you give me what I need this day. And I'm not going to worry about tomorrow because my life is not my own. It belongs to you. And I am not after my will. I'm after your will. That's why the Lord's Prayer starts there. Your will be done. It's in this context where I say, God, your will be done. I know and I trust and I believe that you are a good God and that you have a will for my life. And that will is a good will. Therefore, I ask you, God, not for what I need tomorrow. I ask you for what I need today. Because I've surrendered my life to you. So I ask you, God, that in this day, that you will give me my daily bread. That what I need. Because you know what I need more than I know what I need. You know everything. So I surrender to you. And when we pray this prayer, this is really what we're declaring. We're saying, God, I put my trust in you that you not only know what I need, but that you are a good God. So I ask you. I ask you for my need. I'm not counseling you what I need. I'm not trying to explain to you all the things that I'm going through. Not that it is wrong, but as if you do not understand. So many times we go before God and we plead with Him and we try to explain to Him in the most minute detail the challenges that we face as if God cannot see. Instead of just going to Him and say, God, you know what I need. I pray that you help me this day, today. You give me what I need today, God. I'm going to trust you for tomorrow. I ask you for this day. It sounds so vague. Give us this day our daily bread. Yet it is so specific. It's not give me tomorrow what I will need. Rather today what I need now. And then further on in the same chapter in Matthew 6, verse 34, Jesus says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. It is what I need today, not tomorrow. God knows what I need more than I do, and I'm absolutely surrendered to Him. I'm absolutely surrendered to Him. And I was reminded when I was praying through this scripture, give us this day our daily bread, I was reminded by the Holy Spirit about the Israelites. That was led out by God. God responded to their call and he delivered them. And he called them out from amongst the people, from amongst the world, from amongst the sinful system that they live to follow Him. He says, come out to this mountain and worship me. Come follow me and I will be your God and I will lead you. I will lead you to my will for your life, which is the promised land. And as they were following Him, God provided for them. Supernaturally, He took them out of a system, out of a place that they understood. They understood about work, about earning, about buying, and about eating. This is what they knew. This, you work, you buy, you eat. You work, you buy, you eat. This is where you have your provision. This is where you have your security. God says, now I want you to come out from amongst them. I want you to follow me. I want to follow me into the desert. There's nothing. It's just the desert. And I want you to surrender to me. I want you to trust in me. And I will provide for you. And how did God provide for the Israelites? He sent them bread, didn't He? He sent them bread daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And this is exactly what God did. He didn't give them food for tomorrow. He only gave them food for today. And he commanded him, don't pick up anything more than what you need for this day. As a matter of fact, even if you tried, it wouldn't work, did it? You could only pick up for today. And it was enough for today. But there was no guarantee for tomorrow. It was only enough for today. There was no guarantee. And even if you could, you were not allowed to. And even if you did, it wouldn't last because God gave enough for today. And then Jesus teaches us to pray, Father, give us this day our daily bread. God, give us our manna that we need for this day. Because you are our source. You're the one that we trust. You're the one that we surrender to. You're the one that we follow. So I ask you on this day. This is a powerful statement of faith. This is not a cry for help. It's more a statement of faith when I say, Father, this day, give me my daily bread. It was in the desert that there was nothing, that they had to completely surrender to Him. They had to trust in His existence, in His character, in His word, in His faithfulness. They had to surrender even more every day. And then we understand what Jesus meant further on. In Matthew 6, after He taught us how to pray, He says, therefore, Chris read it earlier, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. What you will eat or what you will drink or about your body or what you will put on, is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds. Look at the character of your Father. Look at the one that you follow. Look at the one who's called you. Look at the one who's paid for your life. Look at His character. Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to His stature? So why worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, who today is and tomorrow thrown in the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. He knows. So why worry? Well, the reason we worry is because we don't believe what we believe. That's why we worry. So we must believe what we believe. God says, don't worry. I know what you need. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about his own things. God is not saying, don't worry. It's not what God is saying. God is not saying, don't worry, period. No, God says, look at me, look at my character, look how I feed, look how I provide, look at the fact that I already know what you need before you even ask what you need. Therefore, don't worry. That's really what it's about. It's not wishful thinking. It's not positive thinking. No, it's thinking about God. It's thinking, it's putting your trust in Him. Therefore, don't worry. But why not about tomorrow? Why not worry about tomorrow? I've realized that today is my reality. I can do nothing to the past. I can do nothing about what happened. It's out of my control. It's over. There's nothing I can do in the past. And some people still live in the past. You still live in your past mistakes, in your past successes, in what happened in the past. But the past is not your reality. The only reality that we have is today. We can do nothing. We have no power over the future. We don't know the future. We don't know what's going to happen there. The only thing that we have is today. And my response in this day, how am I going to react to the circumstances around me? How am I going to react to the trials and the tribulations and the challenges? This is the only thing that I have. I'm not even sure what I'm going to live today. I don't even know that. This morning it was asked, how many of us really thanked God that we are still alive today? I mean, this is the only certainty that we have is today. How you're going to live this today is going to determine where you spend eternity. It's not what you did in the past. It's not what you're going to do in the future. It's about your relationship today with God that matters. It's today. So today, God, in this day, give me my daily bread. Give me what I need in this day. Because it's not about yesterday and it's not even about tomorrow. It is the power today, God. Help me to live in faith in you. I mean, we all want to go to bed in peace, don't we? I mean, that absolute place of security, knowing that everything is under control. I mean, I'm sure we had that from time to time. It's nice to go to bed in peace, where everything is going to work out fine. Well, God says you can have it every day. You can have it every day. I mean, we work our whole entire lives to provide, and I'm not saying we shouldn't, don't misunderstand me here, but this world, we work so that we can have a pension, so that we can sleep at peace at night, that everything is going to be fine in 40, 30, 20, 10 years from now. It's going to be fine. And if the markets crash, we're not fine. If the markets do well, we are fine. And we have the seesaw through life. Because we're worrying about tomorrow. Why do we worry about tomorrow? It's because we don't believe what we believe. And I'm not saying don't provide for, don't misunderstand me, please do sound investments. Provide for your old age. But have faith in God. If you want peace, have faith in God. I've realized, what are the things that I need today? When God says, give us this day our daily, give me today my daily bread. All of a sudden I've realized, what do I need for today? What do I need for today? I need food to make today. I need clothing. And I need a shelter for myself and my family. I mean, if we really need to break this down to what do I need today? I mean, I need food to eat. I need clothes to wear. I need a shelter. And I need some safety for my family. This is what I need today. God, I pray that you will give me what I need today. Yes, I lost my job yesterday. God, but today I ask that you'll give me what I need today. I need food, clothing, shelter, safety for my family. Runel is here today. She's lost the income and she has no shelter. She needs a place to stay. Is there anybody that can help her? Please speak to her afterwards. She needs a place to stay. She's part of the family. She's a widow. She's been serving the church. I've met her when I was a young man. First time I met Runel was my first year in ministry 20 years ago. I met her in a small little flat with about 7 foster kids. That's how I know Runel. She's still here amongst us. Where are you, Runel? Somewhere. There's Runel. She needs a place to stay if somebody can help her. What is my daily needs? God, this day, today, give me my daily bread. And when I start thinking through what do I really need, I all of a sudden realize that I have far more to be thankful for. Yes, there's the uncertainty of this and the uncertainty of that and the reality of this. But God, I want to thank you that I'm alive today. I want to thank you, Father, that I'm alive. I want to thank you, Father, that I'm healthy enough to be here. I want to thank you, Father, I still have a voice. I want to thank you that I know that you have saved me. You have redeemed me. You have clothed me with righteousness. And I have a future. I have a pension fund that cannot be stolen, cannot erode. It's going to wait for me for eternity. And I'm going there. And God, I want to thank you for the food that I do have to eat and the clothes that I do have to wear and the shelter over my head and the children that's still amongst me. God, I want to thank you for all these things that you've given me through your Son and all these promises. And I realized when I face that, my needs become insignificant in the reality of who God is and what he's already done for me. I've got so much, and when I start to thank God, it leads to thanksgiving, and therefore Philippians 6, 4 verse 6 says, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. Because I've surrendered my life to God. I belong to Him. So be anxious for nothing, but in everything, so we think, but be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts. We can ask God anything. It's one of those amazing scriptures that we glance over and we miss the point, the power, the revelation. It starts off in verse 4. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. It just starts off. It points the picture. Now, I've got this anxiety, this fear, this stress, this uncertainty, the circumstances, the trials and the tribulations that I'm facing. But it says here, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. It's not just rejoice. It's not just rejoice. It's not wishful thinking. It's not positive thoughts. It's rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in Him. He is your salvation. He is your champion. He is your tower. He is your strength. He is your shield. He is your provider. He is the Lord of the army of the hosts of heaven. He is everything that you need. So I rejoice myself in God, who is my provider, who is my Father, who loves me, who has a will for my life, and that will is a good will, and I follow Him. He's my shepherd. So I rejoice in Him. God, I know I'm going through this valley of the shadow of death, but I'm not afraid because you are with me, and your staff, Rod, they comfort me, and I know where you're leading me, there's life. So I'm rejoicing in you, God. Even though I go through this valley, I'm rejoicing in you because I know you're with me. So rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Don't panic. Don't panic. The Lord is at hand. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow with me, the Lord is at hand. He is not far from you. In the midst of your trials and your tribulations and your circumstances and your uncertainty, the Lord is at hand. It's such a beautiful expression in English, eh? At hand. What does that mean? It means He's right here. He's at hand. He's walking next to you. If you stumble, He'll catch you. If your faith fails and you sink and you cry out, He'll stretch out your hand and pull you out like Peter. He's at hand. I love this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You know, thanksgiving puts things in perspective of who He is. When I start to thank God for who He is, God, this is the uncertainty, this is the trial, this is the tribulation that I'm facing, God, but I want to thank you for who you are. You are God Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal. You saved me. You sent your Son for me. You redeemed me. You washed me clean. And you have secured a possession for me in eternity. God, I want to thank you for who you are. Now, about the car that broke down. All of a sudden, when we start to thank God for who he is, we put everything in perspective, and our fears becomes insignificant in the context. So God, I ask you in this day, you give me my daily bread. You know, I was sharing with a friend at a restaurant. I don't know if I shared it before. Forgive me if I did. I'm getting older. Just do this. We have a thing in our family. You know, my parents, they're getting older. So we hear the story the third time, we just do this. If it's the fourth time, we just do this. So if you've heard this before, just show. But anyway, I was sitting in this restaurant, and our turbo on our car broke, and it's going to cost a fortune. And we were talking about the turbo and how we're going to get money for the turbo. And he was sharing with us about his Land Rover that he bought. Land Rovers, you know, they always leak oil. But anyway, he bought the thing, and it broke down, and, you know, and on the holiday. And we were talking about it, and all of a sudden he said, yeah, you know, I was sharing this with my friend, and he told me, yeah, you've got real white man problems, eh? Wit mens probleme. We are complaining about a turbo that broke down, and there are people that don't even have cars. And we're depressed because the turbo broke. Wit mens probleme. White man problems. You know, and we lose perspective of what we have. God, I thank you that I have a car. It's broken, but I thank you I have a car. God, this day I ask that you give me my daily bread. You know what I need, God. You know I need to get to point A, point B, but God, I ask you to get me to point B. You know what I need. I would like you to fix the car. But you know what I need. You know I need to get to point B. God can get you to point B. And you know what? Sometimes the prophet, he's in the desert, and he's running away. He's afraid. He thinks he's the only one left, and he's hiding away in the desert in a cave, and he's all depressed. And he feels sorry for himself, and he says, God, why don't you care? Why don't you provide for me? And God says, don't worry, I'll look after you. And then God sends a raven with meat. Now, a raven is an unclean bird. It's like the prophet's like, what? I'm not going to touch that meat. It's an unclean bird. And God rebukes him and says, what's wrong with you, man? But God, why didn't you send an angel with food? I mean, I'm the only prophet left. I'm like a prophet, you know, the Holy One. Send an angel or an eagle or something, you know, pure. Now God sends a raven and it's like, no, man, can't be it. Oh, God, you know what I need. Anyway, that was just for free for someone. It's more than thanking him for what I'm going to receive. Because you know what? Sometimes that can be presumption. Sometimes as Christians, you know, we walk in presumption. You know, we start to thank God for the new car. The car's broken. Now we start to thank God for the new car. The new car. And God, you're such a good God. I want to thank you for this Mercedes-Benz, you know, this Fuller that broke down. But I want to thank you, God, for my Mercedes. We walk in presumption. It's like, I would like a Mercedes-Benz. We all know Mark 11 that says, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. So God, I want that Mercedes and I want to thank you for that Mercedes. You know, I've thanked God for stuff and I didn't receive it. I realized, shucks, that's probably not what God meant. And James actually says that. It says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. NIV puts it so beautifully. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. And then I've learned, you know, there's one thing that I can ask God and thank God for that I'm assured will always happen, and that's His will. So God, in the midst of my circumstances, God, I pray for Your will to be done. God, in this day, give me my daily bread. And God, I thank you for that. That's why the Lord's Prayer starts with, "Your will be done." So I want to encourage you in the midst of your circumstances, surrender your life to God, believe what you believe, and ask God for His will, and thank Him for it. God, I don't know why the car broke down, but God, I ask that you give me today my daily bread. I want to thank you that your will for me is good, God, so I ask for your will in the midst of this. Show me your ways, God. Show me your ways. Can we truly surrender to His will? Do we trust God enough to surrender to His will? Not my ways, God, your ways. Not my will be done, God, but your will be done. Lord, this, if this is at all possible, Lord, take this cup away from me. But nevertheless, Father, not my will. Your will be done. Because your will is good, it's perfect. Sure, God, I know what I would like, but your will, God. And we have assurance in that, and we can thank God for that. I've realized I need to put my faith in God for today. I can give God thanks for His faithfulness, for His character, for His promises, and for the monuments in my life. If I look back in my life, if I look back where I started and all the storms and all the tribulations and all the trials that I've been through, I see this one constant. It's God's faithfulness. And you know why I can say that? Because I'm still standing here today. I'm still alive. I still have a voice. I'm healthy enough to be here. I've got a family. I've got children. I've got everything my heart desires. And I've lost stuff on the way, but God has redeemed. God has never left me. And I got hurt along the way, but he's healed me. So I'm not afraid of what can happen in the future. I need to put my faith in God for today, His character and His faithfulness. Hebrews 3 verse 7 says something so powerful. It says, "Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to test and saw my works for 40 years. They saw how I provided for them for 40 years supernaturally. I gave them food every single day. So today, therefore, I was provoked with that generation and I said, they always go astray in their heart. They have, as if they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they will not enter my rest. They shall not enter my rest. So today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts as in rebellion. On the day of testing in the wilderness where your fathers put me to test and saw my works for 40 years, they tested God by complaining. God provided for them 40 years every day. And they tested God by complaining. It's not good enough. This bread that comes down supernaturally every single day. And the birds that you're seeing, the meat, you know, they were probably, that's where our genes come from, South Africans probably. Maybe we're one of the lost tribes, I don't know. But the bread wasn't enough. They wanted meat, so God gave them meat every day, if supernaturally, every day. It wasn't enough. They tested God. Even though God was faithful, every day for 40 years, they started to complain. They tested God's patience. They complain to God, this is not enough. This follow. What about a milk? They started to complain. They tested God by longing for Egypt. Well, they longed for Egypt. Work, buy, eat. Work, buy, eat. At least we had security there. Work, buy, eat. Work, buy, eat. So they tested God. So you know what? If that is where you're is that if that is where you're at, you will not enter to my rest. You will not enter into my rest. But if you trust me, if you believe in me, if you say, Father, your will, give me today. You know what I need. God, you give me what I need. I'll put my trust in you. God says, you will enter into my rest. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will God will rule. Will God over your heart and mind. Your mind and heart. Wait, let me just read it correctly for you. Philippians. It says there, be anxious of nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgivings, let your requests be known, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. It will guard your hearts and minds. It will protect your mind from if we surrender to God, if you surrender to God and you say, God, this day, give me what I need. I trust you. I trust you for tomorrow. I trust you for today. I don't worry about tomorrow because you are there. You know what's going to happen there. You know your will for me, God. And you've already provided for me there, Lord. But today, God, this is all I have, God. I ask that you will give me today what I need. You know what I need. Give me today my daily bread. God says the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your minds and your heart. Will guard your mind from all the possibilities of what can go wrong. And it's not what can go wrong, because in this life things go wrong, but it's the end of these things that draws us away from God. And it says, I will protect your mind if you surrender to me. I will protect your mind and you will have peace at night. And I will protect your heart that it doesn't fail and doesn't give up hope. I will guard around it if you surrender me. Surrender to me. I've also realized when I face my needs, it's not just an opportunity to receive, it's an opportunity to grow. When I face these trials and these tribulations, these needs that I have, this lack that I face, it's not just an opportunity to receive, it's an opportunity to grow where I can extend my faith. I start to realize what James and Peter and all these guys wrote when they said, count it pure joy when you face all these things. Because your faith grows through it. And I've realized when I face these needs, when I come before God with the realities and I bring everything before Him and I thank Him for Him, I realize this is an opportunity for me to grow and to dig in deeper. It's an opportunity to grow. I hold on to God because He knows what I need even before I ask Him, and I surrender more. Give us this day our daily bread. I've realized I need more than bread alone. And I ask this for God. God, give me this day my daily bread. I've realized I need more than bread. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When I face my needs and I come before God, I realize I need more than this need I have, this physical need, this bread that I lack. God, I need you. I need you. All my needs do is it draws me closer to Him. I don't know if you've discovered that before. If you go through a crisis or a trial or a tribulation, you know what it does? It draws us closer to God, doesn't it? And I've realized when I face needs, this is not just for an opportunity to receive. This is an opportunity to grow as I grow closer to Him and I say, God, I need you. I need a new car, God. I need this car to be fixed or a job or an employment. But God, what I need more than this car and this employment, I need you. I need more of you. And John 6, verse 30, I'm finishing off. Don't worry if you need to go. It's an opportunity to grow. Therefore, they said to Him, what sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it's written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven. It wasn't man. It was my Father. But my Father gives the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said to Him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Oh God, give me today my daily bread. It's you that I need. I need more of you. Because you are the living bread. He who comes to me shall never hungry. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Father, give us this day our daily bread. It's you that we need. My need, my hunger gives me an opportunity to feed more on him, to surrender more to him. And prayer gives me this peace. It's an opportunity to still my soul, to still my soul and say, God, I need you. I need you now more than ever. Come and fill me, satisfy me with more of you. So that I may make this day. I may make this day. I'm going to ask the ushers as we close. They can hand out for us the bread and the wine. It's an opportunity for us to still our souls and to feed on him. That's where prayer comes in, when we are silent before him. And we make our requests known to him. With thanksgiving, we say, Father, this is my need. This is my trial. This is my challenge. This is my tribulation. This is my fear. This is my sickness. This is my lack. But God, I want to thank you that you gave me your son so that I may have life. The bread of life, the true bread of life. Lord, I want to thank you for this opportunity that I can bring my need and bring your need. I want to give you an opportunity as we partake of communion, bring your need before him. Bring your fears and your lack and the things that keeps you awake. But thank him for what he has done through Jesus Christ. And ask him for your daily bread. Ask him for this living bread. Because this will satisfy you. Jesus will satisfy you. More than the Mercedes can. Because he's a well that does not dry up. He does not dry up. He does not dry up. And he will give you peace. When you surrender your life to him, he will give you peace. This peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that guards your mind, protects your mind from all the things that can go wrong. It guards your heart, protects your heart from falling in despair, getting offended or losing faith. So when we come together, and I want you to wait for one another. As you get the elements, please don't eat and drink yet. Let's do this together. But as you receive, I'll give you an opportunity just where you're at, just to come to God. To bring to him your need, your desires, your fears, your lack. And then to thank him for what he has already given you. I mean, what he's already given to you in our brokenness, in our need, in our weakness. In our frailty, he has already given us everything that we need for this life. He says that I've given you everything that you need for life and godliness. So I want you just to thank him for what he has already given you. The living bread, the true living bread that has come down from heaven to give life, his son. So as you are, just start to thank him. Bring your need and then thank him for what he has given you. See anyone that we have skipped? Is anybody that needs some bread? If you can just raise your hand if you need bread. Anybody that needs a cup? Father, I want to thank you that we can come to you this morning. We can bring before you our hunger and our need. God, forgive us sometimes for not seeing, not believing what you've already done for us. Forgive us sometimes, God, for our vitamins problema. When we're so focused on our needs that we don't see those around us who are suffering. But thank you, Father, that we can come to you this morning and we can bring our needs, our hunger to you. And we can put our faith, our trust in you and what you have done for us. I want to thank you, Father, that this morning we can stand with boldness and ask you, Father, give us this day, this Sunday. Give us our daily bread. Give us what we need. But Father, we also want to thank you for what you've already given us through your Son. The Word that became flesh. The Word that became written. And the Word that is living in us. We thank you, Father, for sending your Son, the true bread of life, so that we can feed on Him and never be hungry again. We thank you, Lord, for becoming sin for us so that we might be set free. Our Lord, we thank you for this bread that you have given us. As we eat it, Lord, I pray that you will satisfy us with only you. Let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for this blood that was spilled, Lord, that is the guarantee. It is the guarantee. It's the blood of your Son. It is the guarantee of our inheritance. It is the guarantee of our future. It is the guarantee of our hope. It is the guarantee of our hope that everything is going to turn out good. It's the guarantee. You sealed your promise of eternal life for us with the blood of your Son. I want to thank you, Father, that this cup represents that blood that is the guarantee. That this is not a promise. This is not a good intention. This is a covenant. That one day we will be with you, without sin, without sickness, without pain. Just you. We're going to thank you for this, Lord. As we partake of this cup, we believe in it. We believe in you and your promise and your word. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. God bless you as you go from this place in peace. As you surrender your life to Him, know you belong to Him and you do not need to be afraid. Remember every day to ask Him for your daily bread. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And if there's anybody that can help Runel, please speak to her. If you can't find it, just go to the info desk or speak to myself. You've never surrendered your life to this God that loves you so much. Today, if you hear His voice, don't harden your heart, but come to Him. I'd love to pray with you. I'm going to be here for a few minutes. Sorry that I'm a bit over time. May God bless you. Coffee, please. Your children, don't forget them. And trust to see you next week.